following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. You can remember that, right? Eyes, that's what we're talking about, and it's the Hawaiian Eye Show. So eyes@hawaiianeye.com, or look us up at hawaiianeye.com, where you can find links to radio programs and podcasts and also a lot of other interesting information about eyes. You can also follow me on Twitter, Dr. Tortora on Twitter, or look up for us on Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center on Facebook. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ. We'll have a lot of fun today. Now remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, I'm back after a few weeks away. Those of you who are listening last week got to hear the dulcet tones of Dr. Stephen Rhee, who was talking about a lot of interesting eye facts, some eye cases, some of his areas of expertise. He's a cornea specialist, which means he has some expertise in diseases that affect the front surface of the eye, the clear window that covers the surface of the eye called the cornea. Of course, he's also a cataract specialist, as am I, and I do a specialty in glaucoma as well. So between the two of us, we pretty well cover the whole front part of the eye. There is also the back part of the eye, which is usually covered by a different type of subspecialty. So even in a part of the body so small, just a little couple of inches, an inch and a half across a little globe, there are specialties, probably five or six different specialties of people who take care of different components of the eye and the areas around the eye. So it is a complex issue. So if you're having problems with your eyes, we like to educate you about some of the things that are going on in eyes and eye care nowadays. I just got back from several meetings. I went to the Royal Hawaiian Eye Meeting, which is a meeting originally founded by Dr. Corboy, who was the originator of also this radio program. And Dr. Corboy, in this meeting, which is now the third largest meeting in the nation of ophthalmologists in terms of the number of people who attend, and it takes place on one of the neighbor islands, and they teach us about all kinds of things that are new and exciting and things that are going on in the field of eye care. And so that meeting was interesting. And then I went from there to another meeting, what we call an anterior segment meeting, a meeting dealing with the front of the eye, where we were talking about cataract and glaucoma and all kinds of other things. And so it's been a kind of a rich week of learning for me. So I wanted to share a few of the things that we've been talking about with you so that you have an idea of some of the things that are new and exciting going on in my field. So the thing that seems to be, you know, that people are talking about a lot, there's a couple of things, a couple of broad categories that people are talking about a lot. And one of the things is glaucoma. There are a number of new procedures that are being done now for glaucoma to try to control pressure in the eye. Glaucoma, of course, is high pressure in the eye that causes damage to the optic nerve. Glaucoma is also known as a sneak thief of sight because it steals your vision without you realizing it. People who have glaucoma often lose side vision or peripheral vision without realizing that that's happening because you don't notice your peripheral vision. You don't notice your side vision. You will notice your if your straight ahead vision is being lost. But if your peripheral vision or side vision is gradually fading over time, you may not notice that. And people have on occasion come into the office with very serious loss of vision and they say, gee, I'm having a little trouble with my vision. And it turns out it's too late to do anything about it. So glaucoma is one of those things we want to treat quickly. We want to treat when we first find it. We want to catch it early. And we want to treat it fairly aggressively so that people are less likely to develop problems in the vision in the future. So we typically treat glaucoma with eye drops, but a lot of people have trouble using eye drops. You know, you put drops in the eyes every day, day in and day out. You're bound to forget sometimes. The drop may not make it into the eye. You may have arthritis. You may not be able to squeeze that drop into the eye as well. So increasingly, we're trying to look at types of procedures which will help to control glaucoma. There are a few new ones out there that are being done to help to control glaucoma a little bit better and also at the same time reduce the risk of complications associated with any type of surgery, but particularly with these types of procedures, we're trying to reduce the types of complications or problems that people have associated with more traditional forms of glaucoma surgery. So we talk about what we call micro-invasive or minimally invasive glaucoma surgery. They refer to that as MIGS, M-I-G-S, minimally invasive glaucoma surgery. And there are three or four procedures now that people are talking about in terms of being able to give some added benefit to people who have glaucoma for whom drops are not working as well. One of these procedures, and I've done a number of these, is called a canaloplasty. Canaloplasty is a procedure where we try to open up the eye's natural drain so that the fluid drains out more easily without actually opening up the eye itself. So we create a space where fluid can drain without actually creating an opening into the eye for fluid to drain out. The opening into the eye, of course, increases the risk of infection, and so if we can eliminate that, then that's a positive thing. Other treatments involve also trying to get fluid to go out through the normal channels by reducing resistance to outflow. There are instruments that open up the drainage channel, and there surgically, which you can go in and open using an electrocautery or a special instrument that opens up that tissue to allow more drainage into the normal collector channels that allow fluid to drain out of the eye. So the goal of glaucoma surgery is to lower the pressure, and if we can do that in a less invasive way, in a way that people are less likely to have side effects or complications from, that's actually a good thing. So none of these procedures is perfect, but they do represent advances in some cases. Now I want to go to the phones. We've got Wayne standing by on the Big Island. Hi, Wayne. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Doctor, I'd like to know what your opinion is on broadband light treatment for dry eyes.
Broadband light treatment. So
skin-tight laser treatment.
For dry eyes.
Yes.
I actually have not heard of that treatment. I think that it sounds like one of those things that people are kind of grasping at straws trying to find something that might help in patients who are uncomfortable because they have a significant issue with dryness of the surface of the eye. I have not heard about that as being an approved, FDA-approved procedure, so I'm not sure if it has been approved yet by the Food and Drug Administration. I know that there are actually some advances in dry eye treatment, some of which we've been adopting in our practice, ways of dealing with people whose oil glands are not functioning as well as they should, and these are showing some significant promise. But the broadband light, I have not heard anything about.
Oh, I see. My problem is the only thing that seems to work are those steroidal-based medications. And, of course, that has side effects, I guess, of prolonged usage, right?
Sure, it does, yeah. Have you tried a drop called Restasis?
Oh, yeah, a long time ago. That didn't quite work.
How long did you use it for?
Oh, I don't know, over a year.
Uh-huh. sometimes Restasis combined with the steroid medications can be helpful. So what we can sometimes do is maintain you on the steroid medications for a period of time and then gradually replace the effect of the steroid medications with a medicine like Restasis, which sometimes will, you know, maintain the effect, whereas it may not be sufficient by itself to control it at first. If we can jumpstart the process with the steroid medications and then use the Restasis long term, sometimes that can be something that works. So why don't you ask your doctor about that and see if there's any, you know, potential benefit for that, because that can be continued for an extended period of time.
Okay, so the main question is, though, you have not really heard of the broadband light?
No, that I don't really. I don't know anything about. So my guess is, because I haven't heard about it, my guess is it's not really a mainstream treatment yet, and perhaps it's not approved by the Food and Drug Administration yet. So I'd have to look that up, but I don't really know anything about it at this point.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. We're going to go to Sally, who's standing by in Maui. Hi, Sally. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Welcome back. I had a question. I had a series of ocular migraines. They lasted maybe indiscriminately for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then I got this weird lightning bolt outside, just out of my field of vision. So I didn't know if that was like a... I talked to the other guy who pinch hit for you while you were gone. He said it could be a tear in my vitreous.
Uh-huh.
So I just wondered what the procedure would be, if it would be in-house, and how much it would cost to fix it with...
You can't put the cart before the horse. I mean, the thing is, we need to know what's causing your problem before we have any idea at all what's going on. So the first step is an eye examination. If you have insurance, that's generally covered. If you don't have insurance, you know, most doctor's offices would probably charge between $100 and $150 for a full eye examination, and then make sure everything's okay. If everything's fine, then you don't need anything else. If you have a problem, then the question is, what is the treatment that's recommended? And then at that point, we can give you an idea of, you know, whether there's going to be a cost of the treatment, whether it's covered by insurance, and, you know, and everything else. So first thing you need to do is get a diagnosis, know what's wrong, what's causing your problem. If it is just related to the migraine, then you may not need anything at all. You may just get reassurance that everything's okay. But if it is related to a change in the retina or tear in the retina, that's something you ought to take care of sooner rather than later. So I wouldn't hold off on the eye examination part.
And if there's a tear in the vitreous, can they fix it right away, or...
It wouldn't be a tear in the vitreous, it would be a tear in the retina, which is the seeing tissue in the back of the eye. And if there's a tear in the retina, it should be fixed promptly. It depends on, you know, where you go and who you see. We don't do those repairs in our office. We generally send people to a retinal specialist, but other offices do them. So you're on Maui, and there are a couple of practices on Maui that are medical doctors that see patients. There's Aloha Eye Care. And there's another doctor that's an ophthalmologist there on Maui whose name is escaping me at the moment. So go and see one of the medical eye doctors, the ophthalmologists there on Maui, and have them check it out. And then if you need additional help, they can probably direct you as to where to go.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Good luck with that. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we're going to do an interview with a visiting doctor who has all kinds of interesting case reports and some interesting inventions to tell us about. Dr. Robert Rosen is visiting us from the mainland, and he'll be with us just a short while after we get back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Totora.
Doctor, my eye.
All right, welcome back. Here we are in the second segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. It's Dr. Christopher Totora. I'm back from a few weeks away, so I hope that you haven't missed me too much. We had Dr. Rhee filling in last week, and of course Dr. Stephen Rhee is one of the doctors at the Hawaiian Eye Center. And so we're moving forward here, telling you about some of the new things related to eyes and eye surgery that have been coming up that I've been learning about at some of the meetings that I've been attending over the past couple of weeks. And I also am fortunate enough to have a guest visiting today in the studio. We have Dr. Robert Rosen, who's visiting us from Southern California, and he's been in practice for a number of years doing a variety of eye procedures and eye care, including a lot of cataract surgery and refractive surgery, helping to correct people's vision. Hi, Dr. Rosen. How are you doing today? I'm sorry.
Aloha.
It's nice to see you. Nice to talk to you and see you here in Hawaii. And Dr. Rosen, as was telling me earlier about an interesting case about a detective needing a detective. And so, Dr. Rosen, maybe you could tell us a little bit about some of the experience you had with this detective.
I had a patient come in. He was 38 years old, and he was a detective, and he was moved up the ranks to a supervisor. As a result, he spent more time indoors having to do paperwork and less time out doing investigations, and he developed severe headaches that prevented him from doing his work. So he had a full medical exam, including x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans, neurology, TMJ evaluation, and it turned out it was very, very interesting. His vision was 20/20 at distance, but when you dilated his eye, he had a degree of hyperopia. He had a shorter eye than normal, and as we age, we lose the ability to focus up close, called presbyopia. And what happened is he was presbyopic earlier because he was farsighted, and that was missed. So when we discovered what the problem was, we were able to correct that with reading glasses, and it, lo and behold, his headaches went away, and he was able to function, whereas before they were thinking about putting him on disability.
That's interesting, because most people develop presbyopia or near vision issues when they're in their mid-40s, somewhere between 42 and 45, and he was only 38, so it probably wasn't the first thing that most people were thinking about. But because he was farsighted, he was hyperopic, he was developing what we call early presbyopia, right? So this is a huge problem. I mean, people who develop reading problems over time are some of the most unhappy patients that we face in our office. They come in and they say, you know, I could see fine, and all of a sudden, I can't read anymore, right? It's amazing how sometimes this seems to come on suddenly. And but everyone gets it as they get older, whether it's with their glasses or without their glasses. If they see fine without glasses, then they find that they can't read as well. If they see better with glasses, they sometimes feel that they have to take off their glasses to read. But oftentimes it really affects people adversely. So I know this is a huge problem in the U.S. today, and I know that you've also been working on a way of trying to deal with this problem, which will help to alleviate many of the symptoms without having to have people depend on reading glasses. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, I've been involved with the correction of presbyopia, or the inability to read. My first introduction to that occurred when I was 44 and trying to find an address. I missed it and had to look at the yellow pages at a gas station, and they were faded in Southern California. And at that point, I had to keep moving it farther and farther away to see, and because it was faded, I couldn't see it. So I had firsthand experience, and today I wear reading glasses. As a result of that, I've spent the last number of years, probably about 10 years, developing different techniques to get around having to wear glasses. It affects about 120 million people in the United States that are over the age of 45. And the latest technique that we've come up with, which we've used, is what's called a scleral implant. And what that is, it fits on the white of your eye. It's reversible. It's clear, and you can't see it. And what it does is it puts a little bit of tension back on the muscles that cause you to accommodate or focus up close. And as a result of that, you can see without glasses for reading. So you could have had previous LASIK and do that. And it may be even possible if you have lens implants that are the regular variety and they're put in the correct anatomic place that you would be able to be corrected with this procedure.
Well, that sounds like quite an interesting procedure. Sounds like something that might offer a lot of promise for people who are frustrated with having to wear reading glasses and so forth. Currently, you know, when we do LASIK correction on people who are over 40, we have to either tell them wear reading glasses because we correct their distance vision and then they can't see as well up close, or we tell them we can do one eye for distance and one eye for near. That's called monovision, and that works okay for a lot of people, but still you don't get both eyes working together for distance and near. So the ideal is to put someone back into how they were when they were under 40, which is to be able to see both distance and to focus up close to read. And if you can do that, then that's certainly an advantage. And it sounds like that's what your implant is going for. And so it's great that you've got that. Now, you know, it's kind of like, you know, as cavemen or as, you know, early humans, we probably weren't really programmed to live more than about 40, 45 years. Or if we were, you know, we didn't have to read or sign checks or, you know, do any of the things that you have to do up close. So that was okay. But now in, you know, we have half of our lives over the age of 40 now, more in some cases, more than half our lives. So we need to be able to function, and so having surgical alternatives is great. So why don't you tell me about the patients that have already received this, what kinds of benefits they're seeing as a result of this treatment?
Well, because this is a scleral on the white of your eye procedure, it doesn't affect your distance vision. So someone like me that could drive and fly an airplane without any glasses at all finds that very beneficial. We have some patients that we've done in Mexico, and we're gearing up to do a large clinical study in India with that. And the nice thing is it doesn't affect your distance vision. So if you're a comfortable contact lens wearer, or you're like me, you don't wear any glasses for distance, it doesn't affect your distance vision at all. It just allows you to have the up-close vision and the intermediate distance. So if you want to work on a computer or you want to read, you have the ability to do that without needing glasses. And when you talk to people and they get older, one of the things that they tell you about getting old is they can see wrinkles in their face and everything like that, but they say, oh, I forgot my glasses, and it will be very common for me to go out to dinner with my contemporaries and go to a restaurant, the lights are a little low, you can't see the menu, and somebody will have forgotten their reading glasses, and so they say, well, can I borrow yours? And then some of the people in the crowd will say, boy, why can't you come up with something so I don't have to wear reading glasses? I feel so old now. And so the answer is we've now come up with something, and we're going to go through the FDA trials so that it'll be available to the senior citizen, not even senior, the ARP group in the United States.
Well, let's say the over 40 group.
Okay.
So you're thinking maybe next 2 years sometime this might be something that that might be available to the general public?
Yes, there are a couple different approval routes to go through the FDA, and one of the routes is called a 510K, which is a more rapid thing. Because the materials we use are used commonly in ophthalmology and intraocular lenses and stuff like that, and because we're placing them on the outside of the eye where they can be removed surgically, it's not a big problem. It's a non-invasive procedure, basically. Very low risk, very high rate of return.
Well, that's actually what you want. You know, you want the low risk. You want, you know, something that works. And so if that pans out, that sounds like that's going to be quite a life-changing procedure for a lot of people. And if it's something that can be done superficially on the surface of the eye without actually invading the integrity of the eyeball itself, that significantly reduces the risk. And that's why there's such an appeal for procedures like LASIK, which are done just on the surface of the eye. But this goes a step further in safety because this is a reversible procedure, as I understand it, right? I mean, this is just a little implant that's being placed around a band that's being placed around the outside of the eye. And if you decide for some reason that your vision is distorted or there's something that you don't like about how things have changed since you had the procedure, it can be removed, right?
Yeah, it's actually a clip, not a band that goes entirely around. It fits in four quadrants, and it's a couple millimeters. The other thing that has a very interesting side effect in your specialty, among others, is glaucoma. And the side effect, which is a good side effect in this case, is it actually lowers the pressure 6 to 8 points in a select group of people. So if you have ocular hypertension, where you have pressure that's higher than normal, but you don't want to really be on drops and you haven't suffered any damage yet, this may be one way to control it. And also, if you are on glaucoma medicines, rather than having the surgery as you discussed, even though there's minimally invasive surgery now, this would be another possibility. It apparently works by turning the faucet off to the sink and by opening the drain a little bit. So it has a twofold mechanism of working. And in a normal person that has no high pressures, it may lower the pressure a point or two, which doesn't mean anything. But in somebody else, we've seen drops as high as 6 to 8 points, which is the difference between maybe causing damage and being able to alleviate the pressure effects.
Exactly, and that would be even less invasive than even the ones we were talking about as minimally invasive. So that's great. Well, we're going to get back to Dr. Rosen and talk to him about some more case studies and if he has any other inventions that he wants to tell us about. But first, we're going to take a short break to listen to the news, and then we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 75 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton Dennis. Here's what's happening. The sheriff in Dale County, Alabama, says the negotiators still have an open line of communication with a man accused of abducting a 5-year-old boy and holding him hostage in a bunker. Sheriff Wally Olson says Jimmy Lee Dykes has told them he has blankets and an electric heater in the bunker in rural Midland City. Olson says Dykes has allowed authorities to deliver coloring books, medication, and toys for the boy. Dykes is accused of fatally shooting a school bus driver Tuesday and snatching the boy. There's political intrigue in Nebraska today. The governor says Lieutenant Governor Rick Sheehy has resigned after breaking the public trust. Governor Dave Heineman said the resignation follows disclosures made in a public records request, but he declined to discuss what those disclosures were. The Omaha World Herald reports Sheehy resigned after it raised questions about improper cell phone calls to 4 women, none of which were his wife, during the past 4 years. The Honolulu Medical Examiner has deferred the determination of the cause of death of a fetus found in an Aiea Park Thursday morning, pending further examination and investigation. A man collecting recyclables found a box containing the fetus at Napuanani Park. He called 911 when he opened the box at home. Police say there were no signs of foul play. A Maui man was sentenced yesterday to 100 years in prison for sex assault. 46-year-old William Barrios was convicted of 72 counts of first and third degree sex assault. The girl was 8 years old when the sexual assaults began, and they continued from 2004 to 2009. A beachside memorial for Honolulu businessman Lex Brody begins at 9 a.m. near the Duke of Hanamoku statue, and flags are flying at half-staff today in memory of Brody. Sunny, breezy, high in the 80s. Tonight mostly clear, low near 69. Tomorrow sunny. Currently 75.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the Neighbor Islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back. Here we are in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show. We're talking about eyes. Of course, this is Dr. Christopher Tortora. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. Hawaiian Eye Center has locations here on Oahu and Central Oahu, which is convenient to the people who live on the leeward side, on the north shore. Even not so bad from the windward side. We have patients who come over, just hop the H3 over to Central Oahu and come see us in the office there. It's something that people who are tired of driving, fighting traffic, driving into Honolulu are happy about. We have the office available for, which is a relatively easy trip for people who live out on the leeward side. So happy to be able to offer that. We also have our office in Hilo on the Big Island. And in that office, with Dr. Stephen Rhee is seeing patients, as is Dr. Nancy Lundblad. And they see patients on a regular basis there in the Hilo office. And we also have our surgery center, where people can have many forms of eye surgery here on Oahu. And the nice thing about a surgery center is that we, as the physicians, have a lot of control over the quality of what we do. If you go to a hospital, you have to sort of be beholden to the administrator, to the 15, 20, 30 other doctors that are doing surgery there. If you have your own place and it's Medicare certified and, you know, approved by the state, our surgery center is all certified. It's safe. We take care, good care of people, and we also take care to make sure that the people who are working there are the highest caliber. Our anesthesiologists, our surgeons are all excellent, and our staff is just wonderful over there. They make people feel like a part of their family, and so people who are having surgery are a little bit feel a little bit threatened sometimes, and they feel a little bit anxious because they're having an eye procedure. They don't know what to expect, and to go there and have staff that makes you feel comfortable, to be able to wear your own clothes, not to be, you know, watching how your gown covers the back of your okole. Those are certainly nice features of the surgery center, not having to lie around on a stretcher. You get to sit up like a real human being until it's time to go back for the procedure. So a lot of people actually enjoy the surgery center environment. So Hawaiian Eye Center does provide a lot of that. We have some news stories here. I want to just spend a few seconds talking about some news stories, and then we're going to get back to Dr. Rosen and some of his case studies. We have a story here about modifying existing cells in the eye may one day restore vision. It says here, doctors may one day treat some forms of blindness by altering the genetic program of the light-sensing cells in the eye, according to scientists at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. Working in mice with retinitis pigmentosa, a disease that causes gradual blindness, the researchers reprogrammed the cells in the eye that enabled night vision. The change made the cells more similar to cells that provide sight during daylight hours and prevented degeneration of the retina, the light-sensing structure in the back of the eye. Scientists are now conducting additional tests to confirm that the mice can still see or can see better. We think it may be significantly easier to preserve vision by modifying existing cells in the eyes than it would be to introduce new stem cells, according to author Joseph Corbo, MB, MD, PhD, assistant professor of pathology and immunology. A diseased retina is not a hospitable environment for transplanting stem cells. So this study is available in the early online edition of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Mutations in more than 200 genes have been linked to various forms of blindness. Efforts are underway to develop gene therapies for some of these conditions. So the doctor here says that rather than seek treatments tailored to individual mutations, they hope to develop therapies that can alleviate many forms of visual impairment. To make that possible, he studies the genetic factors that allow cells in the developing eye to take on specialized roles necessary for vision. So this is basically what they're doing is looking at trying to kind of convert things that are currently happening, cells that are in the eye that aren't working quite properly, into cells that may work better in trying to get things working well. You know, all these advances in medical care, medical treatment, and so forth, and there's a real concern that we're going to have a shortage of doctors or a shortage of access to doctors. And one of the reasons is because healthcare is so expensive in this country today that many people are looking at trying to reduce the payments to physicians as a way to try to cut costs in medicine. Now, never mind that payments to physicians are only a tiny fraction of what we spend on medical care each year, but I have an article here that says physician pay drops sharply in 2012. And the reason that I'm concerned about that and the reason I'm bringing that up is not because I'm a physician and my pay may drop, which, you know, may happen, but that's, you know, that's all well and good. But if physician pay continues to drop year after year, you're going to find a lot of physicians who are currently practicing are going to decide it's not worth it anymore. They're going to leave the field. Physicians who are you know, up and coming, who are going into huge amounts of debt in order to be able to study medicine and feel that they're not going to be able to ever recoup that investment, are going to be less likely. Bright young minds are going to find that there are other things that they'd rather do. And that's going to have a negative effect on medical care over time. So it says here surveying agency called UBM Medica US announces that physician pay for existing patient visits tumbled dramatically last year, dropping by as much as a third as payers continued to reduce costs by cutting pay for services and began experimenting with value-based pay models, according to the results of the fee schedule survey by Physicians Practice, America's leading business journal for physicians. Pay rates to doctors have declined or remained flat in virtually every year since Physicians Practice began its annual survey in 2001, but last year's cuts were particularly steep, especially on services to existing patients, according to Bob Caveney, Physicians Practice editorial editor. For example, average reimbursement for the lowest complexity diagnostic code for an existing patient dropped by a third, from $30 to $20. A mid-level code dropped 27%. Physicians Practice surveys practices annually on what they are paid for average and average for common medical codes from all of their payers. Physicians Practice fee schedule, in which 2012 included more than 1,300 respondents from all parts of the country, is the only broad-based scale analysis or broad-scale analysis of physicians' reimbursement rates. Pay for most new patient visits increased slightly last year. The biggest increase was for the least complex new patient code. Smaller bumps were seen for other new patient codes, except for the highest complexity codes. So what I see happening is that physicians' offices still have to pay the rent, they still have to pay the staff, they still have to meet all those expenses, and yet less money is coming in. So what's going to happen? Physicians are going to say, we got to see more patients. We have to make it up on volume. So we're making $20 less per patient, so we have to see, you know, five more patients today. And that's going to impact the quality of care. All of these things have an impact, have ramifications. You can't do one thing without seeing it echo in other areas. And so I think it's important to make sure that that we watch carefully what the changes that we're making are doing in the ability to deliver care. Granted, healthcare costs can't continue to rise at the cost that they are, at the rate that they are, but I doubt very much that physician salaries and even payments to hospitals are the main reasons that medical expenses continue to rise so much. A lot of the rise has to do with new tests, things that people have access to now that they didn't before, care at the end of life, decisions about what types of procedures different people get, and you know, it's unfortunate, but you know, it may turn out that we just can't afford to give everyone every single treatment that they want. It just may not be, you know, economically feasible. So we have to look at how do we figure that out? Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Dr. Rosen, who's going to tell us about some more case studies that he has, and we'll be back right after this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out.
That's it. We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Ah, yes, Hawaiian Hula Eyes. And here we are back at the Hawaiian Eye Show. We've got another few minutes left of the show here. If you have a question, you can give us a call. 521-8383 will get you here to the radio station. If you want to talk to Dr. Rosen, he's here as well. Dr. Rosen was just telling me during the last break that he has some pretty good ideas of why healthcare costs are rising the way they are. So, Dr. Rosen, why don't you tell me a little bit about some of these preventative care issues that you were concerned about?
Well, there are certain constraints in the system. 10,000 people are turning 65 each day as the baby boomers, and I'm on the leading edge of that. And as we turn 65, we're going to be living older and getting more chronic diseases. The problem with that is if you wait until you have the disease and try and treat it, it's going to exhaust the healthcare dollars and raise the cost too much. So what you need to do is get on the early side of the curve and go for preventive medicine. And an example of that would be we didn't treat polio. We gave you a vaccine in order to prevent it. And the biggest risk factor now in the country, aside from the healthcare with the population aging, is obesity. So you have somewhere around 30 million diabetics and another 60 million potential diabetics, pre-diabetics. This is weight-related, but they also have high blood pressure and high cholesterol, called metabolic syndrome, with the trio of those. And so what you really want to do is you want to get in and you want to have early intervention, and that may start as early as school with kids learning to make proper food choices and other types of things. We're also not producing enough primary care doctors to take care of the population as it ages. So, for instance, you may have Obamacare insurance or some other form of insurance. That's fine, but if you don't have enough doctors to see you or the doctors don't wish to take that insurance, you can have all the insurance you want, but there's nobody to take care of you. So these things are things that I don't believe people in society really think about, but the current state of affairs needs to change and go on the more preventive aspects in order to keep the crisis under control.
Yeah, and I think the ultimate goal is to keep costs as well controlled as possible, and the way you do that is by not doing expensive treatments for serious diseases which could be prevented. And you know, so smoking is a good example of that as well. If you we have all kinds of disease that's related to smoking, including eye diseases like macular degeneration, but also certainly lung diseases, cancers, and other things. And so if we could, you know, reduce by 50% the number of people who smoke, we could, you know, have a significant impact on the amount of that disease that needs to be treated. And so then the that those resources could be put into other things, hopefully, you know, preferably prevention, that would help to, you know, prevent more diseases, which of course would reduce the overall rate of healthcare in general. So, I mean, we have lots of access to lots of types of treatments, but the goal would be not to have to treat people because they're, you know, because they're healthy. So I know you also had mentioned that we have, that you had a few other interesting cases that you thought people might be interested in hearing a little bit about. So Dr. Rosen is visiting us from Southern California. He's looking at perhaps coming out to Hawaii to spend some time working and maybe playing as well, and doing some of his inventions and so forth. So we thought it would be fun to talk to him a bit on the radio this morning. Dr. Rosen, did you have another case that you wanted to tell us about?
Yes, I had a very interesting case. It would be like the story where you have three blind men, and that one's touching the trunk of the elephant, one touching the foot, and one touching the tail. Each one describes it differently. And I had a 52-year-old lady come into the office with an inflammation. Yeah, it's called uveitis. That's not what the important point is. The important point is that when you took a, and she also had a history of sinus disease, being hospitalized for this. She had thyroid disease, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, chronic fatigue syndrome, and when you look at that, she had eight different doctors taking care of her, and there was no quarterback. It was like you had the Super Bowl's coming up. I know this, but you had everybody in every position looking at her, but nobody was calling the plays from the snap. So the interesting thing is when you take a careful history, it turned out 20 years prior, she had had two children, twins, and at about 9 months, the kids developed mono. When the kids developed mono, she got it too, and she was confined to bed for about 6 weeks. She recovered from that, and then the kids are fine, but then about 10 years after that, she started getting all these things. So the first thing that happened is she had thyroid disease. And the second thing that happened is that she had chronic fatigue syndrome, where she would have bouts where she could get up and not get up. She had myalgias, which is part of the chronic fatigue syndrome, and then she developed diabetes. And all this put together, so I asked her a very simple question. I said, well, you know you had mono, and the children had mono, the kids are not affected, and you are, but did they ever do anything beyond that? She said, no, they decided I had mono. And I said, well, that's caused by our herpes type 8 virus, which causes, it's Epstein-Barr, causes mono, and all your diseases that you're discussing all relate to the fact that you have a virus that is impacting your immune system, creating all these things in the different organs. And what happens with the virus, it's the opposite of cancer. The virus causes, when we get sick, the body attacks whatever is causing us to be sick, and then it turns off and we're well. But what happens with a Epstein-Barr virus like this is the system never turns off, so you start attacking yourself over a period of time, and that's reflected in different organ systems, which is why we saw this whole constellation. So she went back to the rheumatologist, and they're looking at what they can do in terms of suppressing the impact of the virus on her and trying to keep the symptoms under control. But no one had ever put it all together for her, and so it was very interesting. She literally broke down and cried and gave me a big hug in the office.
Oh, that's a great story. Sounds like you were the saving grace for her, because you were able to say, well, you know, you have all these new problems and what's causing them. And so that's where, so the first, your first story was about a detective, but this is about being a detective as a doctor, right? Because you are figuring out what someone has based on listening to them and hearing the whole story and taking the time to get the information. And so I think that's important. And sometimes if we as specialists sometimes find ourselves concentrating on a specific element of the patient's care, and we don't kind of put together all of the different things that may be related to something that may be a common thread, which may actually be causing problems. And, you know, and in that sense, you know, it's kind of fun, because the eyes can be, in many ways, can be the window to the soul, in the sense that when we look in the eyes, we can actually determine some of the things that may be going on systemically in other parts of the body. We can look at the retina. We can look at the blood vessels in the retina, and if they are thinned or if they, we notice where the veins and the arteries cross each other, that there are certain types of changes. Sometimes that is a sign that there is something going on in the systemic circulation where the blood vessels are being damaged somehow by something like high blood pressure or perhaps from diabetes or something of that type. And so sometimes we can determine these things from looking in the eye. Now, some people take that to an extreme. Dr. Rosen, have you ever heard anyone say to you, okay, I don't want to go to any other doctors. I just want to go to you, look in my eyes and see if everything is okay.
Yes, that's not uncommon. The problem with that is that while we can pick up several hundred diseases by looking in your eye, there are a lot that we miss. And obviously, if you have a skin cancer, and we would never suggest that you don't go out in the sun in Hawaii and take advantage of it, but put on some sunblock and be wise about it. Yes, the idea is that you need to have regular examinations to stay under shape. Many of the diseases, we may detect high blood pressure or something by looking in the eye, but it's not a substitute for a regular preventive medical examination by a qualified medical person.
And also, by the time we see those changes in the eyes, it means that you've got an advanced disease. I mean, when we screen people for blood pressure, we screen people for diabetes, we're trying to catch them in the early stages so that we can make a difference. As you were talking about before, you know, preventative care is key. And if we wait until it's actually causing end organ damage that we can actually see damage in the eye, then that's probably, you know, a late start. You know, we're not getting a jump on it for sure. And so people who come in and say, oh, look at my eyes and make sure I have no other problems, I tell them, nope, go right to your internist. I'm not going to be able to diagnose things that that may very well help you if you go back to your primary care doctor and go ahead and make sure that they take good care of you and evaluate your overall health. You know, the thing is that, you know, all those types of examinations are important. Getting a full regular examination by your regular doctor on a regular basis if you're at risk for certain types of diseases, or if you're over age 50 or so, getting regular checkups, and also getting eye examinations on a regular basis are important. And we tell people on a regular basis that if you're over age 60 or if you have diabetes, you should be getting your eyes checked every year. Conditions like glaucoma, which you don't know you have until it's diagnosed by an eye specialist, can very well sneak up on you and cause serious problems before you know you have it. So if you're getting checked every year or every couple of years if you're over age 50, then that's going to help to pick up any problems that come up early on. And, you know, you may be able to figure it out if you have a cataract, because the cataract may blur your vision. You may find it's hard to see. So that's something that's not that difficult to pick up. But things like glaucoma and early macular degeneration and other things which we actually can have a positive impact on need to be picked up through an eye examination. So getting a regular examination of your general health, getting an eye examination, all those things are certainly helpful and are certainly important in getting the overall health as good as it can be. And I know as far as our patients go, we do recommend regular checkups. You know, diabetics have high incidence of all kinds of medical problems, including very serious eye problems, so they need to be checked on an annual basis. And we always remind people in the office who have diabetes to watch their diet, to make sure that they get some exercise, and even if it's taking a walk for half an hour a day. So it's important. We've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Dr. Rosen for talking to us here today. I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making the show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, make sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, you can always listen again next week. If you have a question, you can email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions over the air. Check my tweets out on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, DRTORTORA, no spaces. And check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/HawaiianEyeCenter. Don't forget to check out our website, www.hawaiianeye.com. You can subscribe to a podcast of our radio program, if you'd like, so that you can hear programs each week as they become available. And you can also hear this program rebroadcast this evening on our sister station, KHBZ. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. This program today is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Coast to Coast AM, weeknights at 7 with George Norris.
The whole universe is accelerating and speeding up.
On KHVH Honolulu,
Hawaii's home for Fox News.